Greetings and welcome to our program. I'm Larry Wessels, Director of Christian Answers. I'm here with a very special guest who I really want to take the time to introduce you to, Rob Zins. Rob, great to have you here, brother.
Thank you, Larry. Good to be here again with you.
Now, a lot of people don't really know who you are, although I've known you for decades. But just to let our YouTube viewers out there get a good idea who you are, I'd like you to take some time and explain the books you have written. Now, you are a former Roman Catholic, yet you graduated from Dallas Theological Seminary.
Right.
In fact, I think your degree is in history.
Historical theology, right.
Historical theology. So, with that said, and for the sake of our viewers who don't really know who you are, and there's going to be a lot of people like that, I'd like you to kind of begin with some of the books you've written, some of the pamphlets, talk about your ministry, mm-hmm. maybe your website, and then I'll just throw in my 2 cents worth whenever I get a chance.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's good to be here. Actually, after graduating from Dallas Seminary, it was my intention to go into the pastoral ministry and to become involved in local church work, which I think is probably what most of the men who graduate from seminary want to do. But having been in the pastoral ministry for several years and having come to some idea through my studies about the Great Protestant Reformation, I was concerned a little bit about the disposition of evangelicals toward the Roman Catholic religion. Now, I was raised in the Roman Catholic religion and went through catechism and confirmation and so forth. But I left the Roman Catholic religion and was kind of free-floating and ultimately came to Christ through reading the scriptures and having been witnessed to by some Christians a little bit later on in life. And after going to seminary and being a part of the pastoral ministry, I began to notice that there was a shift taking place in our nation, that more and more evangelicals, more and more articles and books were written favoring the Roman Catholic religion and sort of building this large tent and including not only Roman Catholicism, but a number of other non-Christian religions under this tent. So I began looking around for books that may address this issue, and there weren't too many books out there. And I came across one book in particular written in the early 50s by a man named Lorraine Bettner. And at that time, Dr. Bettner had written a standard work on the Roman Catholic religion, but it was outdated. And along about that same time, a Roman Catholic writer wrote a book, an apologetic book, wherein he set about to do what the book says, debunk Lorraine Bettner. In other words, to disprove all that Lorraine Bettner was saying about the Roman Catholic religion.
You're talking about Carl Keating?
Carl Keating, right. Mm-hmm. Carl Keating's book. So I read Keating's book and read Bettner's book again. And I asked the question almost out loud, has anybody answered Keating?
Now, he started Catholic Answer.
He did. He started Catholic Answer in San Diego, and no one at that time had given a direct answer to Carl Keating. So I decided, well, let's give it a try. And that's when I wrote my my very first book, and this book is entitled Romanism, The Relentless Roman Catholic Assault on the Gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, it's a long title, Romanism, The Relentless Roman Catholic Assault on the Gospel of Jesus Christ, but it's a purposeful title. This book goes through every single chapter of Carl Keating's work and analyzes the Roman Catholic position on virtually every aspect of their religion. We have in this book a chapter on baptism, penance, purgatory, the Eucharist, the Mass, the place of Peter, invoking the dead, Mary, justification, the so-called charge of professional anti-Catholics, and a final chapter on the changing face of Rome due to Vatican II. So this book was written in response to a very strong Roman Catholic writer, and that actually began the ball rolling to have a more full-orbed, ongoing ministry to the Roman Catholic community. But as you know, in 1994 a statement came out called ECT, Evangelicals and Catholics Together, where a number of prominent evangelicals actually signed a document essentially endorsing the Roman Catholic religion. This document came as quite a shock to the evangelical community. It still has a rippling effect to our day, And
I think it was signed by like Bill Bright of
Bill
Campus
Bright,
Crusade,
Campus Crusade,
J.I. Packer,
J.I. Packer, a number of people, and that led me to write my second book. My second book is entitled "On the Edge of Apostasy," subtitled "The Evangelical Romance with Rome." This book is extremely important because we analyze the modern evangelical thought patterns of those who would want to convince us that the Roman Catholic religion is just another branch or form of Christianity. And did a lot of research, it's well footnoted, and I just spent a lot of time trying to answer the question, why would evangelicals ever think that the Roman Catholic religion is in fact a Christian religion and should be considered as an alternative worshiping community to Christianity? And having written this book, I got into all kinds of trouble because it flies in the face of the modern thinking of ecumenism. Mm-hmm. So this deals with the ecumenical movement and a number of broad organizations. Mm-hmm. And we have it available for you on a number of various websites.
Could you briefly mention a few of your other references before we...
Yes, we realize that a lot of people don't like to read long books, so we've written short books. And this booklet right here is a book that we've sent all over the world. It's entitled "Salvation by Grace Through Faith Alone or by Grace Through Sacraments." And this is a very concise analysis of the Roman Catholic sacramental system. And it's not too hard to read, it's not too long, it's direct, and we think we hit the point very well. But for those who like to read booklets, we have written a tiny little booklet that we do send out a lot. It's called "I'm a Christian, You Are a Roman Catholic, So What Is the Big Deal?" And this also has been translated into Spanish as well. And I'd like to remind you that we do send these booklets over to Spanish-speaking nations and people.
In fact, we made a Spanish video out of that, and it is on YouTube.
Yeah, the audio is on YouTube. Right. So between the larger works, the medium works, and the smaller works, this is a sampling of the kinds of things that we use to help Roman Catholics understand their own religion and also to help evangelicals understand the Roman Catholic religion. And in doing so, I think you'll have to agree at the end of the day that the Roman Catholic religion is a religion unto itself and uses, in some cases, many Christian terms, but defines them with a completely non-Christian dictionary. That's the way I like to say it.
I would like to mention also that for those of you out there that may not be familiar with our YouTube channel page, See Answers TV, you're seeing it right now on your screen. But you may not have noticed that if you look at our channel page and you go down a little bit, on the page you'll find that we list several websites, BibleQuery.org, MuslimHope.com, HistoryCart.com, BereanBeacon.org, PilgrimPublications.com, and then there's one right under after that called CWRC-RZ.org. Now, does that sound familiar to you, Rob?
It certainly does. That's our website, Larry, CWRC-RZ.org. And if you come to our website and scroll through it, there are tons of articles and information on how you can get these books and pamphlets, and we'd love to hear from you. You can email me and order anything you want off the website.
Yeah, I'd also like to mention to our viewers that if you're on our channel page, you'll notice we have 19 playlists that go down the right-hand side of the page on all kinds of subjects. Third one down is on Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Seventh-day Adventists and so forth. But as you get way down in there, you find Roman Catholicism. You're seeing on the screen, this is our playlist on Roman Catholicism. At the time we did this video, we had 79 videos. We've got more now, but by the time you're seeing this. But as you're looking at this, you see that we have all these videos, and Rob is in quite a few of these videos. Mm. Rob, as the people are looking at this, they see here that there's a Boston College debate. And what happened in that particular video, for instance?
Well, the Boston College debate was a debate that centered around the authority of the Pope at Rome. Essentially, it was our duty and privilege to debate two Roman Catholic scholars on stage at Boston College, and they presented the Roman Catholic persuasion on the Pope at Rome, who's considered in their religion to be the Vicar of Christ on earth, and we did everything we could to refute their understanding and also to present the biblical Christian understanding of the person of Peter. So that's the very kind of thing that we do, and we have it on videotape. And anybody who's interested in the difference between what a Roman Catholic scholar would present about their own religion and about the Pope at Rome, and the contrasting view, the antithetical view, actually the opposite view of biblical Christianity, that would be a good debate to watch.
Right, and I wanted to mention on our playlist, we have our 16-hour video series with Rob and me that we did like 20 years ago.
Right.
But that covers the whole orb of all the teachings and doctrines of the Roman Catholic religion. And then we've got all kinds of other videos that Rob and me have done as well. Your debate with the Monsignor,
right,
for instance, that was most interesting. He was basically saying you can believe anything,
yeah,
and it doesn't really matter. I'm letting everyone know that we have many, many videos. One last thing I want to say is if you type Rob Zins, that's R-O-B-Z-I-N-S, into the YouTube search box, you'll get a whole plethora of Rob Zins videos that are available on YouTube. And if you were to type Rob Zins Romanism, once again, you'll get even more Rob Zins videos and a plethora of videos available. And as you can see these things, there's just some samples there on your screen. But with that said, we just wanted to call your attention to all the resources that are available through this brother in Christ here, former Roman Catholic, who was saved by a supernatural act of God. That's really the difference in a real Christian who has been born again, John 3:3-8, through a work of the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit, over just getting baptized or doing all these sacraments or things of that nature. We're talking about what makes you a real Christian is a supernatural act of God on your behalf, where before you were dead in your sins and trespasses,
yeah,
behold, now you're alive in Christ. And that's really what changed your life.
Amen.
All right, brother, with that said, we're going to go into, this is just a promo leading into a main video. So thank you for joining us for this little information situation for discussing Rob, and I hope you enjoy the video to come. God bless you all. Greetings and welcome once again to our program. I'm Larry Wessels, your host, and I want to thank you for being with us today. Well, as you've already seen from our opening promo that we did, you already know who Rob Zins is. Rob, as usual, it's always great to have you here, brother.
Nice to be here, Larry.
Here we go again by the sovereign grace of God to
indeed
present some more shows. Well, today we're doing a show I've probably been wanting to do for a long time, and that's a show on Walter Martin's book. Now, Walter Martin, many of you out there may not be familiar with him, but he was a great pioneer Christian apologist that really flourished back in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. He died in 1989, and that was one of the few deaths where I actually sat on the couch after I heard about it and cried. He meant a lot to me. In fact, just to show the audience some of this stuff, I have just hundreds of Walter's tapes. Here's one on the world of the cults, Walter Martin. Of course, this is the old style audio cassettes on all kinds of subjects. You know, and if you go into my office, here's another Walter Martin tape series, World of the Occult. Once again, more tapes. I've listened to all these tapes, I don't know how many times. Good old Walter there. And then here's just one more. To Every Man an Answer, a View of Modern Apologetics. Outstanding material. I think on this these particular tapes here by Walter, I probably listened to each one of them at least 20 times, if not more. I have a night job that I've been working for almost 30 years, and it's an amazing situation where people ask me, how do you know so much about the Bible? And I say, well, my night job pays me to learn. Uh-huh. And the job I have is the kind where it's, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to do this kind of work, but they do let you put a cassette player on, or nowadays it's MP3 players or whatever else. But I'm still old school, because most of my material, and I've got thousands of audio tapes. If you were going to my office, I've got tape rack after tape rack of not just Walter Martin, but all these other theologians, you know, R.C. Sproul, Ernest Riesinger, you know, just different, John MacArthur, people like that. But it's all audio cassettes, and that's basically 80s, 90s type stuff. Nowadays, they don't use them anymore, but at work, I still have my old Sony Walkman cassette player, and I just listen to, I don't know, some nights I can knock out 4 or 5 hour-long tapes by different theologians or my pastor at my church. Mm-hmm. In fact, some Sundays when I'm working before church, I'll listen to maybe 5 sermons by my pastor before I even get there to church and hear another sermon. And so it's a perfect job. You know, if I've got to work all night, 6 nights a week, I might as well utilize my time, because Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, redeeming the time,
right,
because the days are evil. I see people at work that don't listen to anything or just wasting their time listening to music. And, you know, I've got the whole Bible on audio cassettes. I'm listening to that all the time, too. So it's just my job at night is like a seminary. So, and Walter was a big part of that over all the years, listening to all his tapes and stuff. Mm-hmm. It just gave me a tremendous opportunity to study and learn while I was there. By the way, we'll be talking today on the subject of Roman Catholicism, because the reason I bring up Walter Martin is he actually wrote a book called The Roman Catholic Church in History, Walter R. Martin. This is copyrighted 1960. But he actually wrote it in 1958. Hmm. And we're going to hear Walter himself say something about it here shortly. I've got some tape clips and things of that nature as we get into this and Roman Catholicism. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but I just wanted to throw it into this particular show just for public interest maybe. When I was dating my wife, she was a staunch Roman Catholic. Hmm. To me, I was raised Lutheran, but I was just a nominal Christian. I wasn't born again by the Holy Spirit. I was just kind of going through one religion was good as another, right? And here I've got this hot chick, and, you know, so I started going to the Roman Catholic Church with her. I never became a Catholic, but anyway, as you can see on the screen, here's a picture of when I got married to my Roman Catholic wife. You can see the Roman Catholic altar behind us there in this picture. This is from 1980, so I'm kind of dating myself. Here, Rob, you know, you're such a young man. You look like you're about 40 years old, so you're doing good.
I appreciate that. I'll hold on to that.
But anyway, I've never been a Roman Catholic, but I've had a lot of experience. In fact, after I got saved in 1981, to get my wife out of this Roman Catholic church she had been in all her life, I actually had to go down and debate her two priests that she had grown up with before she could be convinced that this religion was not biblical. Mm-hmm. And by way of that debate with her two priests that she grew up with, she came out of the Roman Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. And she's attended a Bible-believing church ever since, along with me. So praise God for that. Yeah. That's just a little public interest, human interest story there. But I figured that was one way to get my wedding picture in there, right? So people could see I actually was young at one point in my life. One last thing I want to say before I get into all this is... people are welcome to contact us, and you saw a little ad about it. Our newsletters, we offer free newsletters. In fact, Rob, people are seeing a picture of you on the very first newsletter we ever did, way back, and that was our first newsletter I think we published was 1994. And
I must have been 21 back then.
Yeah, huh? You must have been 21. but we got here's our latest one where I did one on Mormonism and things, at least at the time of this recording. So people are welcome to contact us for free newsletters. They don't cost you anything. And one other thing I'll do, as long as I'm doing this introductory announcements and things, and I'll bring Rob into this as well, is if you look at the screen, we have a lot of popular videos we're doing on the internet. And in fact, our number one video at the time of this recording with Rob and me, you can see it right there. 6-year-old wife of Muhammad was okay. It already has 338,307 views. Mm. Our next most popular video that our ministry's produced is Unpopular Bible Doctrines, number one, with yours truly, 322,130 views. Followed by another video that Steve Morrison and myself did on UFOs, ancient aliens, or beings of the fourth dimension, with 206,437 views. Followed by our favorite old-time Christian bluegrass, as you can see there, 141,000. Our Is Jesus God Almighty in the Flesh is getting ready to go over 100,000 views at 99,685. Real popular biography of the famous 19th century Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, given by Bob L. Ross of Pilgrim Publications, the world's leading publisher of the works of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Mm-hmm. 86,671 views. As we go through here, you see Jehovah's Witnesses, Deceivers, 76,847. But I've noticed lately my debate against two Jehovah's Witnesses at a university study center is rapidly gaining on my other Jehovah's Witness video. In fact, I would say probably within another week or two, it'll go past the 76 on the other Jehovah's Witness video. People are really getting into that debate where I took on two Jehovah's Witnesses at a university study center, followed by our cult seminar, 59,000. Then our Mormonism newsletter video, 55,000. And here's what I want you all people to see here. You see Rob Zins in the historical split between Roman Catholicism and the Christ of the Scripture. Mm-hmm. 50,421. And we just went over 50,000 just, I think it was yesterday or the day before we're filming this at this time. And then as you can see on the screen, we have all these other popular videos going down. And of course, overall, we have 533 videos uploaded on YouTube at this time. But these are just the top ones in there. And so I'm kind of advertising a little bit in this particular video just to let people know Roman Catholicism and Walter Martin is not all we do. We have a lot of other ones here. One thing I do want to mention to a lot of our Arminian friends out there, if you'll notice our one video here, John Wesley, founder of Methodism, said that he never believed in Christianity. He himself said that late in his life. And we have a video on that. It's already got up to 26,049 views at the time of this viewing, this production. So I just want to get that in there to let people know that, you know, a lot of people know about John Wesley. Mm-hmm. They've heard of Charles Finney. They seem to be like heroes in the Christian faith. But then as you start to analyze what these men really believed and what they said, you start to get a totally different picture of the whole situation.
You begin to wonder, don't you?
Right. And then you start to understand why the evangelical church is in such a mess as it is today, as we'll find out. Okay, with that said, I'm going to get into this Walter Martin analysis of his book that most people don't even seem to know about. They don't know that Walter ever wrote a book, and at least from what I've heard on the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff, especially when he's got Norman Geisler, who used to teach at Dallas Theological Seminary, where you, in fact, I think you studied under Norman Geisler.
For one semester, right.
At Dallas Theological Seminary.
Right.
Well, anyway, I'm going to lead this thing off with some clips. First, of John Warwick Montgomery. Now, I having already mentioned that I've got almost every tape that Walter Martin ever did, and I've listened to all of them multiple times. And anything Walter would recommend, I would buy it, and then I'd listen to it all the whole time. Well, anyway, Walter on his Christian Research Institute, on his radio shows and things, the Bible Answer Man, he had recommended this tape series by this Lutheran scholar named John Warwick Montgomery. And it's an outstanding series, Defending the Gospel Through the Centuries. It's a seminary-level course, and it goes through the whole history of a Christian apologetics and the greatest Christian apologists during that time. And I've listened to all these tapes, I don't know how many times. I even listened to them, I think, four or five times each, getting ready for our little production here today. But what I've done here is I've taken a couple of choice clips off here for our viewers to hear as we move into this analysis of Walter Martin's excellent book on Roman Catholicism. So what I'll do is start off with John Ward Montgomery's analysis of a couple of things. First of all, I couldn't resist. He had a great apologetic against atheism. It's very short, won't take long, but it gives you a sense of the powerful nature of what this great apologist is bringing for the Christian to use in his defense against atheism. And then from there, he's going to make some comments, I think, that will be very apropos to what we're dealing with here. So I'd like our viewers to listen in to John Ward Montgomery, who was recommended by Walter Martin. Walter Martin's ministry actually promoted this tape series. So this is Walter's doing that I even got these tapes from John Ward Montgomery. So let's take a listen to this great Christian scholar as he gives an apologetic just to give you an idea of where he's coming from as far as defending Christianity. And then we're going to do a couple of other interesting comments. So here's Dr. Montgomery.
Why? Well, think about it for a moment. Is it better to stop with the world in which we find ourselves, which we know to be dependent, or is it better to stop with a God who, as the last term of the series, is by definition independent? You see, you've got to stop somewhere. We've already emphasized that. So, is it better to stop with a world which, at all points, evidences the fact that it needs an explanation, or is it better to stop with a God who has not shown any evidence that he needs an explanation? Obviously, you're going to want to move beyond the world you're in. Why are you going to want to move beyond that world? Because the world cries out for an explanation, whereas God doesn't cry out for an explanation. You're moving from the world of your own experience, where every single thing is dependent upon something else, requires something else. You're moving from that to an explanation which, by definition, is not part of the world, but the way of handling it. Surely it's better to assume an explanation which has shown no need for further explanation than it is to stop with the world that you find yourself in that cries at every point for an explanation. The difference then between the atheist and the theist really is this. The atheist is willing to deny the character of the world he's in by saying, I don't care how dependent it looks, it really isn't. Whereas the theist says, I'm realistically accepting the fact that the world is dependent, unable to explain itself, and that's why I'm going beyond it to a God. The difference then between the atheist and the theist, finally, in a word, is that the atheist is not realistic about the world he's in, while the theist is realistic about it. The theist, the person who believes in God, is realistic about the world because he doesn't kid himself into thinking that the world is an adequate stopping point. The atheist fools himself into believing that no matter how many evidences of lack of explanation there are in the world, somehow magically the world does have its explanation built in. In that sense, the atheist is finally a naive magician who thinks that there is somehow a magical quality of absolute explanation in a world that doesn't show that to be its characteristic at any point.
Now, with that, you get a great apologetic there dealing with atheism. Mm-hmm. And for our viewers, since we are talking about Walter Martin, I would like them to know that we have several debates of Walter Martin posted on our YouTube channel, See Answers TV. On our playlist, we have a whole playlist dealing with atheism, God-hating atheists and know-it-alls, I think is what our playlist is called. And several of those videos feature Walter Martin debating one of the first atheists, the most famous ones, who got prayer knocked out of public schools back, I think, in 1963 through a Supreme Court ruling, Madeline Murray O'Hare. Mm-hmm. Madeline Murray O'Hare. And so you're welcome to go and see all, you know, just once again proving how I am a Walter Martin fan. And so it irks me when somebody is misrepresenting Walter Martin, particularly on this issue that we're going to be discussing on Roman Catholicism. Oh, by the way, when I mentioned the newsletters a while ago, you can also see those online on our website, BibleQuery.org. So all our newsletters, including Rob's, is posted on our website, BibleQuery.org. All of them are there. And so it doesn't matter if you were 21 at the time, they'll be able to access it online. Right. Okay, now, with that said, we're going to be hearing, Walter was replaced at the Christian Research Institute by a man named Hank Hanegraaff. Mm-hmm. And Hank Hanegraaff was, and in fact, we've done several shows on Hank Hanegraaff, you and I, mm-hmm. in the past. In fact, I want to call this to our attention. People can see on the screen right now as I'm talking. Here are the previous shows Rob and me have done, although Rob wasn't in on show number one, he was in on show number two and three. But you can see there an analysis of Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute on Roman Catholicism, part one. And then you can see these where Rob and myself were in it. The next show is analysis of Hank Hanegraaff and CRI on Romanism and the roots of evangelical apostasy. And then the third one we did on, and it's all these are currently playing on YouTube and accessible, analysis of Hank Hanegraaff and Norman Geisler versus Walter Martin on Roman Catholicism, part three. So we've already done quite a bit of work mm. on this subject already, but we really only just mentioned in passing Walter Martin's book. Mm. And so that's what we're going to do here. But I thought it was interesting that Walter Martin can recommend John Ward Montgomery's audio series, and then listening to him talk about Norman Geisler is most interesting. But then Norman Geisler is one that Hank Hanegraaff brings on that we analyzed in these previous shows I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. Now I'd like everybody to hear what Dr. Montgomery says about Norman Geisler on the very tapes that Walter Martin recommended. Mm-hmm.
Through the great expanse of Catholic history, Aquinas has provided not only the theology, but also the apologetic. And he's influenced a great deal of other apologetic activity as well. Some of you know of Norman Geisler's new text in apologetics. That is pure Thomism. Geisler took his doctor's degree at a Roman Catholic institution. He is an evangelical, but he took his doctor's degree at a Roman Catholic institution, and he drank deeply. One might possibly say he became stark raving drunk at the founts of Thomas Aquinas. That text on apologetics gives you a kind of modern, contemporary introduction to the sort of apologetics that has been present in Roman Catholicism for centuries. In many ways, Geisler's book is a repristination of any number of Catholic apologetics texts that were used for teaching apologetics in minor seminaries and even some major seminaries. The main difference between it and they is that they are in Latin, usually, whereas Geisler's is certainly not in Latin. Norman Geisler's text on apologetics is a good book in certain respects, but a strange book in others. It's good because it summarizes in a textbook fashion a lot of valuable material. But it's a strange book since it is almost identical with those ancient Roman Catholic works of apologetics that were done on a strictly Thomistic basis. This is because Norman Geisler is himself a bit of an anomaly. He is an evangelical who took his work in the dispensational tradition and then went off to a Roman Catholic university and took his doctor's degree. And while he was at the Roman Catholic University taking his doctor's degree, he became, to all intents and purposes, a Protestant Thomist. He was fascinated by the kind of theology and the kind of apologetic that Thomas Aquinas set forth. He takes that and approaches apologetics as a Thomist does. That's why in his text on apologetics, you get a very long and detailed and for Protestants, peculiar discussions of the theistic proofs in terminology that's very difficult for Protestants to comprehend, because this is the terminology of Thomas Aquinas, which in turn goes back to Aristotle. This is not, for this reason, a very useful book, because there aren't very many Thomists left. Not even in Roman Catholic circles are there very many strict Thomists left. And to argue the categories of Thomism at the present time is pretty difficult stuff. You can find some good things in that book, but it's a sort of throwback, really. It represents in Protestant circles what was being done in Roman Catholicism, in Roman Catholic apologetics, steadily from about the time of Gregory of Valencia on up to the Second Vatican Council. If you go into secondhand bookstores, for example, if you go to the Roman Catholic theology section of a secondhand bookstore, you will find these incredibly dull minor seminary texts. They are just a glut on the market, and they all have exactly the same format. They all seem to use the same language, they present Aquinas, and always the apologetics text has most of the emphasis placed on Aristotle's proofs of the existence of God, and the same old arguments are gone through. Strange to say, Geisler is doing that kind of thing, and the book is published by Baker Bookhouse, and is introducing Thomism to a new generation of evangelicals. Very peculiar sort of thing.
Okay, now with that as an introduction into what we're getting ready to discuss, and I've already reminded our viewers that we've already done previous shows on Hank Hanegraaff and Norman Geisler. But as a reminder, I'm going to play a clip now of Norman Geisler, who Dr. Montgomery was just talking about, from a tape series that Walter Martin recommended, just to kind of set the table for what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with Walter Martin, who was one of my heroes, and he's been replaced at Christian Research Institute by someone else who I don't think... I don't know. I almost think some of the accusations against Hanegraaff might be true, you know, based on what I've been hearing. And there's a lot more quotes that we put in our other shows than we've got here. But I'm gonna let the audience hear this now from a Bible Answer Man show with Norman Geisler, who Dr. Montgomery was just talking about, to kind of set the table. And, of course, there's much more on this from our previous shows I've already mentioned. And then we're going to hear from Walter Martin himself. And then finally, we're going to get into Walter Martin's book. So right. Here we go. Let's listen now to Hank Hanegraaff and Norman Geisler on the Bible Answer Man show talking about Roman Catholicism.
Perhaps one of the things that bears a statement from you, particularly with those that know you well. You have followed this ministry, and it's been around for 33 years, and there are those who are making the charge against me that I have abdicated or departed from the views that Dr. Martin held on such issues as Roman Catholicism, etc. How'd you respond to that?
Well, my response to it is, then let them make the same attacks against me because I hold the same views. Number two, you hold the same views as Dr. Martin did. He considered that it was not a heretical position, that Roman Catholicism had not officially denied any major doctrine of the Christian faith. And number three, wait until they see our book on Roman Catholics and Evangelicals that's coming up, because that's exactly the position we're defending in the book. And I have spent a lifetime, I have a PhD from Roman Catholic University, and I can guarantee you from studying the original documents and knowing Catholicism on the inside that the view that Walter Martin took and that you take on this program is the correct view, and the people who say it isn't simply don't know what they're talking about.
Well, let me ask you this question. There are people out there, and they're well-meaning, who believe that Roman Catholicism is apostate because they see the aberrations of Roman Catholicism, not only in our culture, but other cultures as well. And we have often answered that criticism by simply saying that we have more in common with an Orthodox Catholic than we have a liberal Protestant. Is that a good analogy?
You took the
words
right out of my mouth. If you hadn't said that, that was already the answer formulated in my mind to your question. We do have more in common with Orthodox Catholicism than we do with liberal Protestant. It's an absolute shame that we should be attacking these people, many of whom are born-again Christians, sincerely fighting the same issues that we are, abortion, homosexuality in our society, that we have more in common with doctrinally. We both believe, I'm talking about Roman Catholics now, virgin birth, deity of Christ, substitutionary atonement, bodily resurrection, second coming of Christ, all of inspiration of the Bible. Now, those are all the fundamentals. By our classic definition of fundamentalist, somebody who believes in those five or six fundamentals, Roman Catholics are fundamentalists. Why should we be attacking them rather than liberals who deny all five or six of them?
Yeah.
That there are ships passing in the night there. They don't understand the nuances, the intricacies of the Roman Catholic view. Roman Catholics believe that salvation is by grace. They do not believe that
you're saved. But not by faith alone.
But not by faith alone. But it's the kind of faith that produces good works, and so do we believe that. And once you define what they're saying and define what we're saying and get the semantical problem pushed aside, there is not that much difference even on that one.
As a matter of fact, people are writing me letters and saying, how is it that you have the courage to speak out against Paul Crouch and not against the Pope?
Well, if the Pope taught what Paul Crouch is teaching, then you should do it. But the Pope, unfortunately, is teaching historic Orthodox Christianity, and he isn't. Paul
and
Crouch.
You are not endorsing all of, I mean, I feel like I have to keep saying this, you know what I mean? We got to make this qualifier. You are not endorsing. I mean, the natural deduction that's made all the time is that having said what you have just said, you are endorsing Roman Catholicism. You could say, no, 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 I am not endorsing all aspects of Roman Catholicism. I have some serious problems with Roman Catholicism.
Don't feel badly. I've been called a Jesuit in disguise, too. You're going to take that flak when you let the chips fall where they may. And the chips on this issue are that Roman Catholicism is not teaching official heresy. I wish everyone could have been with us last night. We attended a Roman Catholic Bible study at a Roman Catholic church where the man taught verse by verse through the Bible. He's doing it over a five-year period. I defy anyone to find a better Bible study, a better Bible teaching than that one last night. There are many wonderful born-again Catholics who are studying the Bible, and I think we ought to affirm this truth that we have in common with them.
And I think the real issue here, Ken, from my perspective, is that I can guarantee everyone that's listening to me right now that I'm going to do what's right, regardless of where the chips fall. In other words, when I deal with issues, whether it's Roman Catholicism or Islam or the Word Faith teachers or the new book, The Message, published by NAF Press, I'm not trying to win a popularity contest. What I'm trying to do is speak the truth in love. That's myself, but I've spent time with men like Walter Martin and Norman Geisler and so many others, and this is the conclusion that they come to as well, based not on their just random opinions, but based on what Scripture says.
Yes, and I want to commend CRI for taking this continuous and consistent stand. Dr. Walter Martin was absolutely right on this issue, and Hank Hanegraaff has carried through that consistently, and CRI has stood there, and you're going to get shot from both sides. We get shot from both sides. I'm called a secret Jesuit, you know, and on the Vatican payroll and stuff. Truth is truth, and I'd rather take attack for the truth than to compromise for error. There are two fears in life. The fear of man brings a snare, and the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and you have to decide which fear is going to motivate you most.
Upon hearing that tape again, upon hearing Norman Geisler defend the Roman Catholic religion all over again, it really brings it, I think, to the front of what we're talking about in this particular video. Our understanding is that Walter Martin would consider many of the Roman Catholic practices, beliefs, dogmas, doctrines to be contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has said as much in his writings. Whereas CRI, Hank Hanegraaff, Norman Geisler et al. Are trying to convince us that Walter Martin really didn't hold such an adverse opinion of the Roman Catholic religion. Walter Martin may have disagreed with some minor aspects of it, may have disagreed with some of the Roman Catholic practices, and Hank Hanegraaff wants to take these kinds of statements and form a platform for his ministry that says essentially that the Roman Catholic religion is a Christian religion. We have in common with them historical concepts of Christianity. We have in common with them an understanding of the gospel that's good enough. And ultimately, Walter Martin would agree with all this. And of course, Norman Geisler, in his writings, and if you read my book, examining his book, you'll understand that Norman Geisler doesn't believe the differences that we have with Rome on the gospel, on justification, on salvation, on the atonement of Christ, on what must I do to become a Christian, to stay a Christian, so forth. Now, these critical questions when it comes to the gospel, he doesn't believe that Roman Catholic differences are fatal. We believe they're absolutely fatal. It's a different gospel. It is an entirely different religion from Christianity. And as we look at Walter Martin's book, we're going to find out that Walter Martin would be absolutely 100% on our side of understanding the gospel and absolutely 100% in total opposition to the Roman Catholic understanding of the gospel and many other critical doctrines that the Roman Catholic religion believes in.
So. Now, on those shows we did on this stuff that I already referenced to that are on YouTube before, you actually mentioned it. I said, well, could these guys get into a Reformation church back in the day? You know, and you said, no way, they'd be counted as papists.
Right, right. And, the only door open for them would have been the Roman Catholic door. And incidentally, that's the way it should be today. Mm-hmm. If you want to be a Roman Catholic, be a Roman Catholic. Defend the Roman Catholic dogmas and doctrines. Be a Roman Catholic in practice. Be a Roman Catholic in your understanding of the gospel. The Roman Catholic religion is out there for everybody to see. They don't hide their religion. They are fully exposed in everything that they've written and all that they continue to write. So if you want to be a Roman Catholic, be a Roman Catholic. What I don't understand is why these guys want to say that they are evangelicals, that they are Christians, that they believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they hold to justification by faith alone and the finished work of Christ alone, and at the same time, they want to be Roman Catholic, which denies it altogether.
That's right.
And so this is the confusion that is
in fact,
our church
today. That's confirmed by the blood of the martyrs in church history.
Right.
I mean,
right.
The Roman Catholic Church has killed so many real Christians throughout time. You would think that if it's like Hanegraaff and Geisler are saying, then that never would have happened in history past. But
right. You
find the Inquisition and all these things going on where true Christians are killed just for having a Bible or reading the Bible.
and I've written on this, and one of the things that I've written about, Larry, is this idea of affirming historicity of Christianity. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus walked this planet. Jesus taught. Jesus made disciples. Jesus was nailed to a cross. Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus ascended into heaven. And therefore, if you believe these kinds of things, you must be a Christian. That's not the truth. The truth is that you can hold to the historicity of Christianity, historical evidence of Christianity. You can believe the whole story from beginning to end as far as history is concerned, but if you miss the gospel, if you miss the gospel, then you've missed Christianity. Jesus Christ, it is true, came into history, and he is a historical figure, but he came with a message. And he left his disciples with a message. And if you read the New Testament, you will understand that those disciples picked up his message of the gospel, the way in which we come to understand how we gain the benefits of Jesus Christ's death on the cross is in essence the gospel. And this is where Rome misses it 100%. So you can't substitute, oh, I believe in the historical Jesus with, oh, that's the same as believing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that the gospel comes from the historical incident, and if you miss the gospel, you've missed Christianity. Walter Martin appears to have understood this very clearly in the book that we're about to get into.
That's right. In fact, thing I'd like to mention, since we were just talking about Geisler there, I once called him up back about 20 years ago on the phone. He was teaching, I don't know if he's still doing it today, but he was a professor over there in North Carolina or some seminary.
Southern Evangelical Seminary.
Yeah, that's right. So I call him up, I got a hold of him, actually answered the phone. You know, I'm just sitting there in my office here in Austin, Texas, and I'm asking him about you, for one thing, and also Roman Catholicism. And he confirmed that you were one of the students, and he knew exactly who you were. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how the more I talked about you in a good light, the more irritated he got. And in fact, he almost got to the point of sheer anger on the phone in relation to your name. Mm-hmm. So he knows who you are, and he doesn't seem to like you at all.
Well, why should he? I mean, all this to the side, whether he would like me or wouldn't like me, the point is that he has said in this tape that we just listened to, mm-hmm. that people who deny that the Roman Catholic gospel is the same as the Christian gospel don't know what they're talking about. So I probably would be put in the camp mm-hmm. of those who are naive, mm-hmm. not fully educated, do not really understand the issues, and simply don't know what they're talking about. Now, mm-hmm. you can say all of those things, and I could say all of those things about mm-hmm. Norman Geisler, mm-hmm. but it doesn't serve any purpose. What mm-hmm. we would like the audience to do is pick up my book, On the Edge of Apostasy. We devote the entire first half of the book to Norman Geisler's latest book on the Roman Catholic religion. And we interact with him, we analyze him, we footnote him, we investigate his sources, and if you come away thinking that Norman Geisler understands the Roman Catholic religion and understands Christianity, then you're going to have to go with him. We don't. We think that Norman Geisler understands the Christian gospel, but he doesn't hold to it as the exclusiveness of truth that it is. We think he understands Roman Catholicism, but he excuses Roman Catholic theology, he makes way for Roman Catholic theology, he massages it, he pumps it up, he shows where it is contrary, and then denies that the contrariness of it is fatal. Mm-hmm. This is constant in his writing.
In fact, it's also constant in his audio tapes of the same thing, because when I was talking to him on the phone, I got him to promise to send me his tapes. He kept saying to me on the phone while I was getting mad at you that all I need to do is hear his tape series on Roman Catholicism that he'd recorded, I guess, in some of his seminary classes. And I said, well, you know, I'll take them. Send them on to me, you know. just like Dr. Jamal Badawi of the Islamic Information Center in Canada, he sent me all his tapes, you know. But that's always a mistake by someone to send their tapes to me, because
right. You're going to analyze them.
Yeah, I'm going to analyze them and I'll put them all over the internet. But like I did to Dr. Badawi. But now we're working on Geisler here. But the thing is, he sent me his tapes on Roman Catholicism, and it's exactly like you said. At least he's consistent between what he writes and what he says on his tapes. I listen to those tapes, and he, of course, says these things about praying to Mary are wrong, blah, 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 blah. No. But he, in a way, he excuses it all as not being idolatry, for one thing.
It's
praying to images. In other words, you can do all these heresies, and from my understanding of Scripture, damnable heresies. And, oh, you're all right, you know, because you're a Roman Catholic. Now, if it was a Mormon doing that, oh, no, you're going to hell. But listening to his tapes on Roman Catholicism, he did that every single time. He'd say, well, that's wrong, but he'd give him a little pass or a little slap on the hand.
Right.
You know, and I was totally, totally unimpressed with his information.
Right. Just before we get into that, I know we have to get into this part of Walter Martin's book, but Norman Geisler and others who believe that the Roman Catholic religion is a Christian religion are apt to say things like we just picked up in this tape, that Roman Catholics believe in salvation by grace. And then they stop. Well, just about everybody in the world believes in salvation by grace, but what does that mean?
Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, they all say the same thing.
It's all the grace of God. Everything is the grace of God. But what does that mean? Well, of course, we as Christians believe that grace means that Jesus Christ is given to poor sinners who have no righteousness of their own, and that God's grace consists in giving the righteousness of Christ to people who have no righteousness, and that God's grace is understood by Christian theology as being that magnificent work of God whereby He, in His love and in His grace, unilaterally selects and regenerates His own. And this is so hard for people to understand. True grace is not God setting up a program for you to merit salvation and for your good works to be weighed in the balances. True grace is when God says, I love you and I'm gracing you despite all of your ugliness, despite all of your sinfulness, despite all of your inabilities, despite all of your tragic, worthless, filthy rags of righteousness, I am going to love you for the sake of my Son, Jesus Christ, and I'm going to give you His righteousness. And the only way that you can gain it is by faith and faith alone in the finished work of Christ alone. And of course, we believe that that faith is given by God as well.
Amen.
That God not only gives you Christ, He gives you the faith to believe in Christ. It's all of grace. Now, when Norman Geisler says that Roman Catholics believe they're saved by grace, what he means by that is God grants grace if they do this, if they are baptized, if they go through the sacramental system, if they continue on, if they confess their sins to a priest, if they. So, in essence, God's grace to a fellow like Norman Geisler and the Roman Catholic religion is dependent upon what man does to get it. Mm-hmm. And that is another gospel.
That's
and
right.
I think Walter Martin sees that in his writing.
In fact, in these tape clips, I didn't put it in here because I knew I was taking up a lot of time with these clips I've been giving anyway, and I didn't want to put everything in there because it's in our other videos that I mentioned already where we're getting these clips from that we've already done, you know, a long time ago. But it's up on YouTube. But in there, a caller called in to the Bible Answer Man asking Hanegraaff and Geisler, what's the difference between a cult and an apostate church? And Geisler immediately said, well, the Roman Catholic Church is not a cult and because they believe in the deity of Christ and they believe in the second coming, blah, 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 you know, all that stuff. While at the same time ignoring everything you just mentioned. but they never answered the part about apostate. See, they left that totally out when the guy called. And anyone that watches those other videos we did on an analysis of Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute, you'll hear that whole clip in there, and you'll see, you'll hear for yourself that they never touch the apostate part. They just talk about it not being a cult, and they don't even address the apostate part. Now, I'm going to play a clip here of Walter Martin himself, and then from there we'll finally get into his book.
Okay.
Just for the sake, before I play this clip of Walter Martin talking about apostasy and stuff, could you define for our viewers what is apostasy? An apostate church, can that be something like that Hank Hanegraaff and Norman Geisler have been describing? You can have a Roman Catholic church that can have all these bad things, but it's not really apostate and it's not a cult. But
no, I would say, and just offhand, all right, a cult starts bad, stays bad, ends bad, all the way through, okay? Mm-hmm. Wrong idea about the historicity of Christ, wrong idea about the message of Christ, wrong idea about heaven, hell. Their history is skewed, their understanding of the history is skewed, the message is skewed, they start bad, they are bad, they end bad. An apostate church is a little bit different. They may start on the right track. Correct history, correct understanding of the significance of the history, even a correct understanding of the message. But slowly over time, as Paul said in Acts chapter 20, there arises within the body men and women who begin to subtly change things, subtly deny things, add something here, add something there, have a council, make a determination, and all of a sudden, as time goes by, this organization doesn't hold to or look like anything that it started with. And that's the apostasy. The apostasy is a falling away. The apostasy is devolution of the body of Christ. And the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 20 told the elders at Ephesus, look, when I leave, there will arise from among the very people that I have spoken with some who will begin to depart from the truths. And they will bring in strange teaching. They'll bring in heretical teaching. And unless it's checked, the body can't remain pure. So an apostasy is devolution. You start out with the object right, the message right, but over time everything begins to change as more and more. And you could say this about probably most of the mainline denominations in the United States. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's difficult to admit this, but most of the mainline denominations have gone liberal. That's what Norman Geisler is talking about when he talks about we have more in common with the Roman Catholic religion historically than the liberals. Well, the liberals are in the mainline denomination. They deny miracles. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny the veracity of Scripture. They deny. It's just a helpful handbook, and everybody's going to heaven, and it's universalism and all that. You know, that's true, okay? But all those guys started strong, all of them.
All those denominations originally were good.
They were
now
good.
Now they're all going apostate.
Right. Gone to seed, as we
say.
And they're
no longer worth anything.
Right.
Not even, you know, when the salt has lost its saltiness.
Right. It's gone.
It's gone. So, with that said, if you have an apostate church, which we would agree is Roman Catholicism in spades.
Right.
I mean, that is a
classic example.
Classic example. Yeah. Roman Catholicism is, it's almost hard to believe how it could get any more apostate than it already is right now.
They're working on it.
They're working on trying to get even worse, but they're pretty far gone. We're going to see in a series of shows we do that. It's hard to believe they can get any worse than they are.
When we get into the chair of the Pope being empty, the set of vacantist view, when we talk about that, it is so bad in the Roman Catholic religion that the conservative Roman Catholics have absolutely denied Vatican II. Mm-hmm. They've denied a whole string of popes as being real popes.
That's right. We're going to get
all
into that.
And they have broken off and formed their own Roman Catholic church, which they say is the pure church. So we're looking at all this, and what they're saying is the pure church is what we're calling apostasy, but now we've got the super apostasy of post-Vatican II Roman Catholicism,
which
we'll show.
And I also, I mentioned this in other shows, I just happened to have here since you brought that up. These are books by Roman Catholic scholars. Randy Engel, this guy here is a priest, Enrique T. Ruda, and then here's another Roman Catholic named Michael S. Rose. Goodbye, good men. How liberals brought corruption into the Catholic Church. Here's the Rite of Sodomy, where she documents, and it's over a 1,000-page book. And she's a Roman Catholic. How over half the Roman Catholic priests, including some of the popes, were homosexuals.
Right.
And how they've been hiding it, even these current popes. And the same thing with this Roman Catholic priest, saying the homosexual network in the Roman Catholic hierarchy in the priesthood.
Yeah.
So that's a terrible problem in itself right there.
It doubles our work because we have to take a stand against traditional Roman Catholicism.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this brand new branch of liberal Roman Catholicism,
mm-hmm.
post-Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they are mainstream. There are more of them than there are of the ones who have broken away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a double whammy for us sitting mm-hmm. here as Christians.
And, of course, then they're shooting each other also at the same time.
So,
it's
a train wreck.
So we've established the fact that if Roman Catholicism is apostate, there's no way it could be like Hank Hanegraaff and Norman Geisler are saying.
Right.
I mean, it would be impossible.
Impossible.
If Roman Catholicism is apostate.
Right.
Now let's hear what Dr. Walter Martin has to say.
As Christians, what ought our attitude to be? It ought to be an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of joy, because God has delivered us from this system into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We are not the descendants of this papacy. Nor do we wish to be. We do not wish its sacraments. We do not wish its dogmas. We worship only Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, Redeemer and Savior of lost men. We reject a corrupt church, a backslidden church, an apostate church, and reach out to her people with the love of Christ, holding forth Holy Scripture, as Strossmayer said, and standing upon the liberty wherein Christ has set us free. Let us not think that Rome has changed her basic positions. She has not. Her catechisms are essentially the same. Her dogmas, uncompromising. It is the same Roman Catholic Church as at the Council of Trent, only carefully adapted to American Protestant culture. It is a Roman Catholic Church which today threatens Protestantism in various parts of the world whenever she gains the upper hand.
Now, we just heard Walter Martin himself say the Roman Catholic Church was apostate.
Right.
In fact, that comes from Walter's tape, which I already told everybody I bought just about every tape they ever put out by good old Walter. And here it is right here, Peter the Rock, Catholic Church Tradition and the Bible. And he said what you just heard right on this audio cassette. And what I find amazing is, as we get ready to analyze Walter Martin's mm-hmm. book, which you're looking at here,
mm-hmm.
and of course I have the entire copy of it right here in my hand, is that Hanegraaff and Geisler can get on the national radio and say this stuff on a Bible Answer Man and never once reference to the fact that Walter wrote a book on this.
Right.
I mean, in fact, this tape that we just listened to in one of those shows we had previously done, Hanegraaff had actually taken a clip off this tape that tried to give the impression that that Walter was in agreement with him. But it came off this very same tape.
Mm.
He didn't play the part that we just heard off this same tape.
Mm.
And on this same tape, Walter mentions that he's written a book on Roman Catholicism, which means that Hanegraaff and Geisler are not ignorant of the existence of this book. Now, to prove that point, we're going to listen to one last clip here of Walter talking about the very book that we're getting ready to analyze. Mm-hmm. So here's Walter.
This particular passage is quoted by the Roman Catholic Church and has been quoted consistently, historically, as proof of their ultimate authority, that is, their right to speak in the name of God, and that Peter was indeed the first papa, or the bishop of Rome, and the sovereign of the church. Now, they have carried this doctrine to almost unbelievable lengths historically, and I'd just like to quote what they have to say on the subject. I have compiled all this material in a book entitled The Roman Catholic Church in History, which will be coming up for reprint in the not-too-distant future. I did this originally in 1958, and little has changed since then except historical material, and we are adding more material to it. It'll be approximately 96 pages, paperback, on Roman Catholicism and the differences that persist between Catholicism and Protestantism. And I think it's very important that we recognize that there are differences that do persist.
All right, then. We heard from the good doctor one more time, where he actually, on this tape, mentions the very book that we're going to be discussing. And he was talking about how he's going to add more material to it and get it into another printing. I don't think it ever did that, but apparently that was one of his plans before his death. Mm. So the existence of this book is for real and confirmed by Dr. Martin himself, but you would never know that from listening to the Bible Answer Man show with Hannah Graf and Geisler.
Yeah, that's a sad point.
That's right. So with that, and after this very long introduction, we can finally get into Walter Martin's book.
Right.
With that said, and you're my main guest for the show, Rob, I'm going to let you kind of lead off. Now, the viewers at home are going to be able to, any page of his book that you read from, we'll put it up on the screen so the viewers at home can kind of read right along with you or see exactly what you're talking about. All you really need to do is make sure you give the page number so you know, the viewers at home know what page you're on, and when we're editing this for video production, we'll know what page you're on. We'll go from there.
Well, the best place to start when you're talking about a book is at the beginning, and I think we ought to start with the table of contents, Larry, this book. Dr. Martin has written a table of contents for the purposes of informing the reader the content of his book, and the papacy, was Peter the first pope, is the first subject that he wanted to address. Then he moves forward in the Catholic tradition and the Bible, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then some points of the Roman Catholic religion that he's brought together in his final chapter, confession, the Mass, purgatory, and penance. Now keep in mind that Dr. Geisler and Hank Hanegraaff are committed to this prospect or this idea that the Roman Catholic religion really doesn't contradict biblical Christianity or the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And that it's a true Christian church,
it's
and
a true
it's not
Christian
apostate.
Church. It's not apostate because they hold to these historical pieces of information the same as we Christians. Mm-hmm. Well, what they're overlooking, of course, is the dogma and doctrine of the Roman Catholic religion that Dr. Martin is going to point out, which absolutely undermines and ultimately destroys the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it makes the history of Christianity irrelevant for what they have added on, what they have changed, and what they have put into the meaning of the history as we understand it.
This is Larry Wessels. I want to apologize to our viewers at this point that we have to sign off on this particular program. Due to the fact that the introduction leading to the review of Walter Martin's book on Roman Catholicism was so long, we've decided to conclude this presentation at this juncture. However, show number 2 in this miniseries on Walter's book will be fully devoted to a complete analysis of Walter's book in detail. Please use the same YouTube title for this broadcast and copy and paste it into the YouTube search box to find show number 2 once we have it uploaded. Thank you for your understanding. God bless. All right, brother. God bless you. Thank you for being with us. We'll do it again on the next show. Thank you all out there for being with us. I want to remind you that you can get a free newsletter by just simply contacting our ministry. Send us an email. I'll mail them out to you. You can also get reference to all our newsletters, including the one by Rob Zins here, the very first one we ever did. They're all posted online at our website, BibleQuery.org. So feel free to do that. And also reference our main YouTube channel page, C Answers TV, which stands for Christian Answers TV. C Answers TV, we have a whole playlist on Roman Catholicism. Just scroll down the page till you find it. Click on that, and it'll give you over 90 videos that we, Rob and me, have done, and other Christian apologists have done over the years for plenty of information on this subject. With that said, thank you so much. May the Lord bless you all. God bless. Bye-bye.
Check out our websites, BibleQuery.org. This site answers 7,700 Bible questions. HistoryCart.com. This site reveals early church history and doctrine, proving Roman Catholicism is not historically or doctrinally viable. MuslimHope.com. This site is a classic refutation of Islam, a counterfeit religion created by Muhammad. Free newsletters are also available.
Hello, this is Larry Wessels, director of Christian Answers of Austin, Texas, Christian debater. My daughter Marlena has come out with a Christian music CD entitled Win This Fight. It has 8 songs that she has written and performed herself. Some of the song titles are Win This Fight, Love Song to My Lord, Vessel to You, Waiting to Hear From You, Jesus Is, and others. YouTube viewers can listen and see Marlena's music video, Jesus Is, right now, free. Just type Marlena Wessels, MarlenaWessels, in the YouTube search box and click on her video on the page that comes next. If you would like more information about getting a copy of her CD, just email us at cdebater@aol.com. That's cdebater@aol.com. Or give us a call at 512-218-8022. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you and yours.